OU Israel presents
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky. This show is the last one for the year 5768. It is for Shabbat Parshat Nitzavim, also for Rosh Hashanah, which will take place before the next show. Hopefully we'll start the year next Thursday show on Tzom Gedalia, which will have Yom Kippur. Details and discussions, but this show will concentrate both on Nitzavim and on Rosh Hashanah, Mirtz Hashem, and it's a serious but a very special time of the year. Recording and first broadcast is on Thursday, Yom Chamishi, the 25th of Elul, the 25th of September. The significance to the 25th of Elul, it is the traditional date for day one of creation. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, God said, and let there be light, and there was light. The Torah continues by telling us, Vayar Elokim et Haor Ki Tov, God saw that the light was good. Vayavdel Elokim Bein Haor Uvein HaChoshech, and God distinguished between light and dark. Vayikra Elokim la'or yom, he called the light day. V'lachoshech kara laila, and to the darkness he called night. Vayihi erev, vayihi voker, yom echad, day one of creation. And why do I say that day is today? Because of our tradition that Rosh Hashanah is the day that Adam Harishon, first man, appeared on earth, was created on the sixth day of creation. If you count backwards, it's the 25th of Elul that corresponds to day one. I know that some people will be listening to the show after the day passes, but it's still important to mention Thursday this year, 25th of Elul, corresponding to day one of creation. It follows from that, if you happen to be listening Thursday night, Friday, that's day two of creation, Shabbat, corresponds this year to day three of creation, which means take a flower to lunch, or more seriously, buy some nice flowers for Shabbat, and make a point of saying to the people at your Shabbos table that the flowers, even though you always decorate your home on Shabbat with flowers, this time it's special because it's the anniversary of the creation of the plant world, including, of course, flowers, and when you have fruit, you could make the same kind of comment. It helps us and those that we share our lives with be aware of the yearly anniversaries of creation, and I think that's a good thing. Tehillim Kuf Lamed, Psalm 130. Shir Hama'alot Mima'amakim Kraticha Adonai. Adonai Shimavakoli Tehiena oznecha kashuvot lekol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmor yah Adonai miya amod, ki imacha hasalicha lema'an tivare. Ki viti Adonai kiveta nafshi v'lidvaro hocholti. Nafshi l'Adonai mi shomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbe imo fedut. V'hu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanatunim batzara uvashivya haomedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha hamakom yirachem aleihem v'yotzieim mitzara lirvacha umeafela leora umishibud legeula hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv v'nomar amen. I bought a new album today. I don't know how new it is. First time I saw it. It's called Hameorurim. It's a collection of many different performers and different songs. I'd like to share with you the following track. The song is called Aseh. The words come from Slichot. Slichot, which we, the Ashkenazi community, have been saying since this past Motzoi Shabbat, and will continue to Erev Rosh Hashanah, and then during Aseret Yemei Tshuva till Yom Kippur, till Erev Yom Kippur, and then on Yom Kippur itself. The words are Atanu al Shimcha. Art Scroll renders it this way: we have come with reliance on your name, O Hashem. Act for your name's sake, because of your name's glory. For gracious and merciful God is your name. For your name's sake, Hashem, may you forgive our iniquity, though it is abundant. We have a running theme that goes through Slichot and the davening of Yom Kippur, that we as individuals are highly inadequate to even expect God to forgive us for various and sundry misdeeds. And yet we stand before Him in Slichot asking for forgiveness. This is not only this time of year, but it's in the daily prayers as well. And we want not just on our own merit, which is small. We often, in other parts of our prayer, call upon Zechut Avot, the merit of our ancestors, that also should serve as character witnesses for us, so to speak. And we also ask God to forgive us for His sake. After all, He chose the Jewish people for a unique niche in this world, and we reflect His choice. And therefore, we call it sneaky if you want, but we ask God's forgiveness very often for His own sake and the sake of the fact that He is defined as a Kael Rachanun V'Rachum. That's His name, and therefore it behooves Him, so to speak, to forgive us. This is not meant as a bypass for sincere, honest repentance, but it goes along with it, and it's part of the Slichot. And this particular song are the words Atanu al Shimcha Hashem Ase Leman Shemecha Ba'avur Kevod Shimcha Kikel Chanun V'Rachum Shemecha Leman Shimcha Hashem V'Salachtal Avoneinu Kiravhu. And then the song concludes with Ase Lema'ancha Im Lo Lema'aneinu, do it for your sake if not for ours. Ase lema'ancha v'hoshienu, for your sake, save us.
Asei l'man shemecho Baruch kevoy chimcho
kevoy chimcho
Ki kein chanun derachum shemecho An shimcho Hashem L'man shimcho Hashem L'man shimcho L'man shimcho V'solach tolav oideinu ki ravu Osonu al shimcho Hashem Asei l'man shemecho
Parshat Nitzavim. Fact. The Shabbat before Rosh Hashanah, we always, always, always read Nitzavim. Sometimes together with Vayelech, sometimes as this year by itself, but the calendar is engineered by a couple of little twists and tricks to make sure that Nitzavim is the last Shabbat of the year. More than that, it is the one that brings us into Rosh Hashanah. Now, I can't say with certainty that it was absolutely purposeful that way. Maybe it happened because Ki Tavo, which we read last week, was meant to be kept a little bit away from Rosh Hashanah. That's a different way of looking at it. And as a by-the-way result, Nitzavim almost by default ended up right before Rosh Hashanah. But I choose to look at it differently. I choose to say if there is a Sedra, a Torah reading, that is the best possible choice to lead us into Rosh Hashanah, I think it's Parshat Nitzavim. A small thing, which is not part of the real answer, is the fact that it's a relatively short sedra. I shouldn't say relatively, it's a short sedra. It has 40 verses. The fact of the matter is that the verses are, on average, longer than most of the Torah, but still, only 40 verses keeps it way down the list of the sizes, and it is a short sedra. So what? That means that on the Shabbat before Rosh Hashanah, where we're going to be spending a lot more time in synagogue than usual, the Shabbat is going to be a little bit lighter by having a short sedra. But I say that with a smile on my face, because that's not the real reason I consider it to be most appropriate for pre-Rosh Hashanah. Look at the content. First, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulachem, you are all here before God. Your leaders, your elders, all the men, children, women, converts, everybody, from the woodcutters to the water drawers, for the purpose of entering into a firm covenant with God. The Torah continues and says, by the way, don't think it's all the people that are alive today only. It's more than that. Ki et asher yeshno po imonu omeid hayom, the ones that are here physically standing, that means all of the Jewish people who are standing before God this day, the eight asher einenu po imonu hayom, and the ones that are not with us are here with us as well. Meaning that Judaism looks not only to the breadth of its population around the world, it looks to the depth, which goes back generations, all the way back to Avraham Avinu, through the patriarchs and the tribes and revelation at Sinai and all the way through. We are not standing here on our own. We are part of the entire Jewish people, alive, former alive, and future alive. This implies, by the way, a firm belief in the world to come, and that's fine, because that's part of Jewish belief. And therefore, we put it into a perspective that we are not fractured individuals standing on our own, but we are all standing together. This, to bring into Rosh Hashanah, Judgment Day, is a very significant thing to do. A person who is standing in judgment should not feel that he is all alone in this world. He has family, he has friends, he has ancestors, he has descendants, and it's all part of the picture of who he is and what he is standing before God. Then comes another warning, and we've had many of them in the Torah. Last week in Ki Tavoh, we had a very heavy warning of the Tochacha. Here is another warning, lest there be a man or a woman or a family or a tribe among you whose heart will turn away from God and follow an idolatrous path. Know clear and well that they're in a lot of trouble. Let's leave it at that. As heavy or intense as this additional warning is, comes the Torah to say, when bad things will happen because of our sins, we have not to despair, to lose hope, to give up, because the Torah says it's not the end of the world. Vishavta ad Hashem Elokecha, you shall return to God through repentance, v'shamata v'kolo, and hearken to his voice, k'chol asher anochi mitzavcha hayom, like everything that I have commanded you this day, ata uvanecha, you and your children, b'chol levavecha uv'chol nafshecha, sincere repentance in your heart, with all of your heart and all of your soul. Then, v'shav Hashem Elokecha et shevutcha v'richamecha, God will bring you back and have mercy, and gather, and here we find a mix between the individual who has to return to God and the Jewish people who have to return to God and to the land of Israel. It sort of goes hand in hand. If through sins we lost our hold on Eretz Yisrael, then the return is a double kind of return. It's return to God's words, and it's return to the land which he gave us. Even if your remnant will be scattered around all over, God will gather you from there and take you. God will bring you back to the land, back to the land which your ancestors settled, and you shall settle it. V'heitivcha v'hirbecha me'avotecha, and he'll make things better and good, and even you'll be more than your predecessors. Umol Hashem Elokecha et levavcha ve'et levav zarecha, God will circumcise your heart, meaning if we embark on a pathway towards repentance, God will meet us at least halfway. Li ahava Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha leman chayecha, and a reminder that it is love of God which is a major motivation towards repentance and towards a Torah way of life. And if you will think that this is too much to do, comes the Torah with a very important, comforting reminder. Ki ha-mitzvah hazot, asher anochi mitzavcha hayom, lo nifleti mimcha v'lo rechokahi. This mitzvah of repentance, or this mitzvah meaning the body of mitzvot, is not distant from you, exalted from you, far away. Lo vashamayim hi. It is not in the heavens. Lemor mi ya'ale lanu hashamayim v'yikacheha lanu. Who's going to ascend the heaven and bring it to us? No, it doesn't work like that. V'lo me'ever layam hi. It's not on the other side of the ocean to say who's going to cross the ocean and bring it to us. Ki karov elecha hadavar ma'od. This is very, very close and accessible to you. Beficha uvilvavcha la'asoto, in your mouth and in your heart to do. Commentaries, by the way, on that last phrase say that repentance has to be verbal, has to be sincere in your heart, and has to translate into action. Beficha uvilvavcha la'asoto. This is a beautiful pasuk which says, take advantage of God's mercy and His offer that we can repent and be forgiven. Use it well. What a wonderful message for Rosh Hashanah. And it doesn't stop there either. This little sedra of Nitzavim continues, Re'e natati lefanecha hayom et hachayim ve'et hatov ve'et hamavet ve'et hara. I have given you a choice, says God, between life and the good on one side, death and evil on the other. Asher anochi mitzavcha hayom li ahavot Hashem Elokecha lolechet bidrachav v'lishmor mitzvotav v'chukotav v'mishpatav. What is life and what is the good? That God has commanded you to love Him, to follow in His ways, to observe and keep His mitzvot and His laws and His statutes, and you will live and you will multiply and bless God in the land which you are coming to inherit. Now this free will choice is not an even choice, because the Torah says if you will be foolish enough not to listen and turn away towards idolatry, know very well this day that you will be lost. Lo ta'arichun yamim al ha'adama, you won't have a long stay on that land. At asher ata over et ha'yarden lavo shama lirishta. And again the Sedra summarizes. Hold that thought.
I'm Rod Serling. You're listening to
Torah Tidbits Audio.
Rest your eyes.
Torah Tidbits Audio. We were talking about Parshat Nitzavim, especially the summary lines of the deal that God has been presenting all the way through. Ha'idoti bachem hayom et ha'shamayim v'et ha'aretz. I call upon heaven and earth as witnesses to say to you, ha'chayim v'hamavet natati lefanecha, I have presented to you the choice of life or death. Bracha v'haklala, ha'bracha v'haklala, the bracha, the blessing and the curse. Uvacharta b'chayim, here's God's command, His recommendation, His pleading. Uvacharta b'chayim lema'an tichya ata v'zarecha. Choose life so that you will live and so will your offspring. Li'ahavat Hashem Elokecha lishmoa b'kolo uledavka vo. Again, to love God, to listen to Him, to cling to Him and His ways. Ki hu chayecha v'orech yomecha. That is the key to life and long days. Loshevet al ha'adama. Asher nishba Hashem la'avotecha li'avraham li'itzchak uli'akov la'teit lahem. Again and again and again. The Torah says, simple, here's the deal. Follow God, listen to Him, do what He asks, don't do what He says is not allowed, and things will be fine and they'll be great. Don't listen to Him, turn your back on Him, and things will be bad. Now, obviously, this is an oversimplification, but I thought of it in light of a child. Imagine saying to a child, which would you rather have, an ice cream or a hard slap in the face? Offer that to any normal person of any age, and the answer is, I'll take the ice cream. I don't want a slap in the face. When you say, on the other hand, be good, I'll see you later, and the consequence of being good will be the reward of an ice cream, and the consequence of being bad will be a slap in the face, how come we don't make that connection? Or we don't make that connection strong enough to realize it's the same choice? Keep that question in your mind. Maybe we'll get back to it. But let's put it all into perspective. Nitzavim is saying we're all in this together. We have to follow God and listen to Him, and we dare not turn away from Him. If we do, we must repent. And repentance is a very doable thing. It is accessible, and it is within our grasp to do it. Free will to choose, which has both sides to it, namely, since you have free will, you are accountable for your deeds. Since you have free will, you may also choose to repent for what you've done. And that's a wonderful message for Rosh Hashanah. Repentance, free will, and reward and punishment are all part of Rambam's laws of repentance, because they are tied together. Without free will, without a system of reward and punishment, there is no accountability for what one does, and therefore the concept of regretting and changing and returning to God, it wouldn't have that significance that it does. So it's all part of this. And here's the punchline, even though it comes in the middle of the Sedra. When all is said and done, you understand most of this, but there are some things that still are elusive. It could be something like, why do bad things happen to good people? It could be not understanding any of the various fundamentals of Judaism. Comes the Torah and says, Hanistarot Lashem Elokeinu, Vahaniglot Lanu Ulvanenu Ad Olam. I'll start with the second phrase first. That which is revealed are for us and our children forever. We understand the obvious, the plain, that which God has chosen to reveal. The mysteries, that which we cannot understand, be it on a philosophical level, or on a scientific level, or any kind of level, personal, national, communal, there are things that remain mysteries and belong to God. And we, with our finite minds, are not capable of understanding everything. We are capable of tenaciously pursuing answers, but always with the recognition that when it comes to the end of the day, Hanistarot Lashem Elokeinu, mysteries are still God's domain, and only that which He reveals to us are ours. But the bottom line is La'asot et kol divrei HaTorah Hazot, to do all the words of this Torah. No doubt that I romanticize Parshat Nitzavim a little bit, but I just find that it is an absolutely beautiful Parsha, and especially the one that leads us into Rosh Hashanah. Speaking of Rosh Hashanah, there's my transition. I make this comment each year at this time, but I grew up in a shul in Brooklyn, which had a very sober, staid, traditional Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, very somber and very serious, to the point where the first time, years later, that I heard a lively, happy tune sung in shul on Rosh Hashanah, I sort of was shocked. But I got to appreciate the fact that as serious and as somber as Rosh Hashanah is, it is also a very special, joyous day. Let's call it a nervous joy. I would say it's parallel to the two similar but different concepts of Ivdu et Hashem besimcha, bo'u lefanav birnana, serve God with joy and come before Him with singing, or Ivdu et Hashem biyirah vigilu birada, serve God with fear and rejoice with trembling. There seems to be a pure joy of, let's say, the three pilgrimage festivals. And then there is a joy with trembling, which I would say goes well with Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It is not a sad day. Maybe that's what I'm trying to say. It is a happy day within a certain context of being happy that we are the loyal subjects of God, and we are glad for what we are, and hopefully try to be better people as well at the same time. Mordechai Ben David has an old album called V'chol Maminim, which I have always found a very inspirational and beautiful album to listen to on the days before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Two of the tracts, one I hope to play next week, Amir Tzashem, and one I'm going to play now, have this combination of the more somber mood, which is expressed by the slow music that you'll hear in the beginning, and then an abrupt change to a much more joyful, lively kind of music. This one is the two passages that follow the shofar blowing during the repetition of the Amidah at Musaf of both the first and second days of Rosh Hashanah. Hayom Harat Olam, today is the birthday of the world. Today all creatures of the world stand in judgment, whether as children of God or as servants. If as children, we ask God to be merciful with us as the mercy of a father for children. If as servants, our eyes look toward and depend upon you until you be gracious to us and release our verdict clear and pure as light, O awesome and holy one. Hayom harat olam, hayom ya'amid bamishpat kol yitzurei olamim. Im kivanim, im ka'avadim. Very special. If we are like children, which we hope we are, then we ask for a parent's mercy. If we are like servants, or like subjects only, then we ask, we turn and we say, we have no choice but to depend upon your graciousness to give us a new beginning. That follows with Areshet Sifatenu, may the utterance of our lips be pleasant before you, O exalted and uplifted God, who discerns and gives ear, looks closely and hearkens to the sound of our shofar blasts, and may you accept with mercy and favor the order of our, either kingship verses, Seder Malchiotenu, Seder Zechuyotenu, remembrances, and Shofarot, which are the three main themes of Rosh Hashanah. Let me play the track first, and then I'll talk more about what these three themes of Rosh Hashanah are about.
Hayoim harasoilom, hayoim hayoim yamid bamishpot kol yitzurei yehovah elohim, hayoim Hayoim, hayoim, yamid b'mishpot, kol yitzurei yavavoy lomim. Im kibonim, im kavodim, im kibonim rachmeinu kirachem kirachem avalbonim im kibonim im kavodim im kibonim rachmeinu kirachem kirachem avalbonim.
Rachamim v'rotzoin tzein desein den zichroin oiseinu. Kabel v'rachamim v'rachamim v'rotzoin tzein desein den zichroin oiseinu. Arashis echoseinu yerav lefonecho yerav lefonecho. Arashis echoseinu yerav lefonecho keil ram v'niyiso. Mazin mahavi to makshiv lekoy lekoy tekiyo 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 seheinu kavim berachamim berachamim uvrotzayin sein deseide malchu yoseinu kavim berachamim berachamim uvrotzayin sein deseide shoy froy seheinu.
That was, of course, the sound of the shofar, the tkiah, shvarim teruah, and tkiah. The point of this last passage, Areshet Sifateinu, listen to what we're mixing here. May the utterance of our lips be pleasant before you. That's prayer. Kel Ram Venisa, exalted God. Mevin umaazin, mabit umakshiv. You understand, and you listen, you look, and you pay attention to the sound of the shofar. utekabel berachamim uvratzon seder malchiotenu, and you accept with mercy and favor our recitation of the verses and our prayers. There is a blend here of shofar sounds, raw elemental sounds, and prayer. And this is what our sages did. We have a mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah to hear the sound of the shofar. We also have a rabbinic command to pray these prayers. And they composed, collecting various verses from the Tanakh, from the Bible, on the themes of God's kingship, of things that we are supposed to remember and remind God about, and on the use of the shofar for that purpose. These are verses that come from the Torah portion of Tanakh, from the prophets, and from the writings, Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim. There are 10 of these psukim, which we package in a large prayer, and which are prayed at Musaf time. Before Musaf, we have the fulfillment of the mitzvah of blowing of the shofar. And we have what is known as 30 blasts, which is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of shofar from the Torah. For various reasons, but we won't build up to the 30. That first set of shofar blasts, which are all together following the blessings recited by the one blowing the shofar and everyone answering Amen, is the fulfillment of shofar. Yet the sages said, we want more. We don't want to separate completely these elemental sounds of the shofar and the more intelligent, intellectual use of verses from the Tanakh with prayer. We want them combined. We want them interwoven. And that's what we do. There are many synagogues that in the silent Amidah, even, there's the blowing of the shofar at three specific points after the conclusion of each of these theme blessings. Everybody does it in the repetition of the Amidah, again, at the conclusion of each of these sections of the prayer. So it's very appropriate to combine this idea by saying, may the utterances of our lips be pleasant before you, and may you hearken and hear the sound of our shofar blasts, and accept with mercy and favor our recitation of the verses in the prayers. You get the idea of this blend of the two. One is from the head, and one is from the heart. Both are expressed from the mouth, one with the aid of a shofar and the blasts which are made by the Baal Tokea's mouth, the other from the prayers composed for us to recite, which come, of course, from our mouths as well, but they have to come from heart and soul. Without that, there is no meaning to them. But here's the additional point that I was making before I put on the song. Somber, serious, yes, but if you heard the way Mordechai ben David sang Areshet Sifateinu, you feel a joy there also. And why shouldn't there be joy? It is a joy knowing that we are special, that we have a relationship with God that is expressed in our prayers, in our Torah study, in our deeds, in our entire lives. And therefore, when we turn to God and say, may the utterances of our lips be pleasant before you, we don't have to cry that. We don't have to be sad when we say that. We have to be thrilled and delighted to be the people who say these words and the people who mean these words. This same idea of somber, serious, and joy is shown in the blasts themselves. The tekiah, the pure, long monotone, is a proud sound. It's the one that proclaims God as king on the anniversary of his kingship. It's the one that reminds us of the powerful sound of the shofar that was heard at Har Sinai when we received the Torah. It is the sound of the shofar that signals the ingathering of the exile. But then there's the shvarim and the truah, which is the broken sound of a heart that is broken sufficiently to call to God in repentance. That's the story of Rosh Hashanah in a nutshell, which is a bad image to present since minhag is not to eat nuts, but that's for another time. Let me wish you a Shabbat Shalom, a Shana Tova Umetuka, a Ketiva Vachatima Tova. Lehishtameah.